Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, well, I missed Nat Kalman. It was high time to bring him back in. It's an edition of Summer Skate here on WEEI.com. It's the first ever edition of Summer Skate, so Matt, you'll be pleased to be a part of that, I'm sure. Matt Kalman, you know him well, at Matt Kalman on Twitter, covering the Bruins for about 50 years.
Yep, CBS Boston, NHL.com, and parts unknown, of course.
Hot new piece up where you basically echo Don Sweeney every step of the way, and you give them an A-plus across the board for their free agency moves. They really, I see the highlight package, Bruins.com. They put up the John Moore highlights and the Joakim Nordstrom highlights, the robust 30 seconds that those were. They really should have put up Anders Bjork and Ryan Donato highlights, shouldn't they have? Wasn't that the gist coming out of the weekend?
Yes, exactly. I mean, they should put up Ryan Donato, Anders Bjork, Trent Frederick, Jack Stadnicka, you name it, they should be showing those guys because that's what this is all about, I guess.
In all honesty, I'm not saying the Bruins are in a bad spot necessarily. They've got a good team. We saw that last year. They were close. I mean, heck, you and I were sitting there during the after game one of the Tampa series and talking about conference final hopes and maybe a trip to the Cup Finals. So they're obviously a good team. But this was a depressing Sunday if you're a Bruins fan, wasn't it? Particularly just from your two rivals getting better.
Well, I mean, Tavares got makes the Leafs a lot better, obviously, but they still have holes in defense, and then that's definitely a weakness of theirs. And the Bruins have been able to exploit that in the past. And when you look at the free agent list after Tavares and with Carlson, John Carlson signing before he even got to market, there were no marquee names out there. I mean, what guy got signed yesterday for a reasonable amount of money that you would want to put on this Bruins team? Maybe a David Perron or a James Neal, but those are some pretty high prices to pay for guys in their 30s who, could go south quickly. And, you're not trying to lock up guys for too long at big money at this point when you're trying to build an organization. That David Backes thing clearly hinders them a little bit in that frame, and they don't want to make that mistake again.
No, I mean, I guess you could throw Paul Stastny in the list or Van Riemsdyk, but actually we were kind of bashing Van Riemsdyk for his play at times during the Toronto series. The bigger deal, I think, was Tavares and Ryan McDonough's extension in Tampa. I mean, you got whacked by that Lightning team, and they're not going anywhere, at least for a little while.
Yeah, but I mean, that McDonough deal, obviously that's a deal that Yzerman makes with the fact that he figures he's going to get maybe three good years out of Ryan McDonough, and then the second half of that's going to be an albatross on them. And, we don't know what the landscape will look like CBA-wise and salary cap-wise by then, but that's the type of deal that if the Bruins had made that, people would be jumping out of buildings because they'd be so annoyed with it, the fact that they'd be locking up a guy like that for so long. I mean,
I don't think so. You think that? I don't know. I guess people were squawking about the term for John Moore, but that's different than Ryan McDonough.
Yeah, well, that's just it. I mean, 5 years for John Moore at 2.75, I mean, you're out from under that pretty quickly. You're going to get three good years out of him at least, and then those back to you, you might end up, trading him for a low pick or demoting him to the minors, and it's going to be negligible in the end. I mean, the McDonough deal for that money, that's going to be wrapped around them for quite a while, especially when you look at, again, Nikita Kucherov has to get paid at some point here, and he's been on a team-friendly deal for a while, and that's a big part of your team. I mean, the guy was basically the MVP from start to finish last year, even though he didn't get the consideration he should have gotten toward the end of the year because I think he got off such a great start, people got bored of just talking about him. But, that's one of the elite players in this league right now, and he's going to be looking for some big money on top of the other big money players they have.
Well, let's rewind to a couple days ago when John Tavares' fever had reached its pitch. Where it was, even getting talk with us on the morning show. That's how fair of a story it was. But I didn't expect the Bruins to be in on the conversation at all. The fact that they were, I guess, says something. Do you think they got a real legitimate shot at acquiring him? It appeared their meeting was the shortest. People were timing, the amount of time in Pat Brisson's office. Were they close to getting Tavares?
Well, it was a really good process, instructional to have somebody else dive inside our own team, and we were thankful for the opportunity to present their you know, Pat and his group and John himself were really good about it, and he was well prepared. And we felt we put our best foot forward, and it didn't fall our way. But again, to be in that situation is something that our group should be happy about, and it's probably a reflection on what we're trying to do and trying to accomplish. But you know, I wish it had fallen our way.
Well, as close as six teams, I would say. I mean, obviously they narrowed it down to that many. That there were other teams that maybe were on the radar, teams that thought, you know, people that thought that the other teams might have gotten a shot at there, you know, maybe like New Jersey or some other Western teams, but they were in the conversation. Let's face it, I don't put any stock in what the length of the meeting was. You know, you bring Cam Neely and Don Sweeney and Bruce Cassidy out there, and you tell them what it's like to be a Bruin, and we don't know what kind of presentation they made so far. Nothing's really leaked about this, whether it was a video, whether it was, you know, we know Patrice Bergeron also called. We don't know. Maybe some other players called, and the fact is...
That seemed like their only hope to me, that they had Bergeron and those guys had a Team Canada connection.
Right, well, that's just the way it works, right? And I think, you know, Bruce Cassidy, let's face it, he has a reputation around the league, player-friendly coach, players love to play not only for him because of his personality, but the style of play the Bruins are starting to institute here. And, you know, you look at all those young guys, you know, he mentioned yesterday signing with the Leafs how he was impressed that the Marlies had won the Calder Cup, and he was excited about some of the kids coming up. He had to be equally excited about the Bruins kids and the fact that, you know, Charlie McAvoy is going to be here long term and all these other guys coming up. So they were definitely in the mix. And let's face it, when you're an original six team and you have the reputation the Bruins have, you're going to appeal to a guy like that. The guy has a good sense of history. We know how meticulous he is about knowledge and information. And clearly, you know, he wasn't wowed because he's not from Boston. He's from Toronto. And I think that was the deciding factor here.
Well, because it was such a public romance, I do wonder how David Krejci feels about this. And I'm not saying it was a done deal that he was going to be shipped, but I guess it was coming down to either he or Backes. You know, somebody had to be moved for them to fit him in. How do you think Krejci reacts to that?
I think he's been dealing with that for maybe 3 or 4 years at this point, right? I mean, everyone wants Krejci out every season. They call him injury prone, and then he plays 82 games, and he's almost, you know, a three-quarters of a point per game kind of guy, and despite playing with rotating wingers, I mean, not to make excuses for him, but he'll handle it. He's been dealing with this for a long time, and who knows if he would have been the one gone. I'm sure they were in communication with him, and the fact that maybe if they could have dumped Backes, that would have pretty much freed up enough space. And being a third center in this league these days is not a insult. Top three, you know, good teams have top three lines that play regularly, and special teams would still...
Well, that would have been a dream, right? If you had Bergeron, Tavares, and Krejci as your 1-3, and right, got rid of Backes, holy smokes, that would have been a great offseason.
I mean, that would have been maybe what they would have done, and the fact is, that's why you have all these picks and prospects. You can maybe lure somebody into taking a David Backes off your hands when you need to clear cap space for someone like Tavares, and I think that might have been their dream, because they don't have a third center right now, and Don Sweeney's talking about, you know, replacing Riley Nash from internally, and that might work, it might not, and they might, you know, show up in November after a month of not having a third center, and they might have to overpay for somebody at some point.
Well, you write in your piece about this, you know, the possibility that this is not the end game, that they might still be out there looking for another piece, and I think that's pretty interesting, that they still could go out and flip, and Artemi Panarin's name keeps coming up, who was dynamite in Chicago. I don't know, would you say he fell off a little bit with Columbus?
No, I think, you know, he's learning to play a two-way game with John Tortorella. I'm not going to put any, you know, any stock in any of this, if his numbers did dip at all. I mean, the guy's, you know, I wouldn't put him as an elite player, but he's obviously got some high-end skills that are just off-the-charts type things that the Bruins don't always have. And if you can have him on a wing with Krejci and have, you know, then you keep Pastrnak with Patrice Bergeron, it's that's a team that can really challenge and, like you said, to close the gap maybe on Toronto and Tampa Bay at this point. And, you know, you got Jeff Skinner out there. That's been a rumor. I'm not 100% sold on that guy being a difference maker. But then I think this Philadelphia thing with them signing Van Riemsdyk, he kind of plays pretty much the same position as Wayne Simmonds, especially on the power play, and not sure how that would work, having the two of them together on a power play. And you have to think that Philly, even though they're saying they're not, that they're going to have to shop Wayne Simmonds unless he's taking some kind of hometown discount there, because he's going into last year of his deal too.
Now, I mean, those would be buzz trades. Now, it doesn't solve your back to your third center problem. Let's say they make a deal like that. They figure it out as they go. Just you know.
I mean, obviously, if you're going to add somebody like that to your top six, that top six is pretty good. You can cover up some of the problems you might have at third center, and you know, whether it's
Nolan Chari is your third line center or something like that.
Right. It could be Nolan Chari. It could be Sean Corrali. It could be any of the three kids. It could be Jordan Schwartz from Providence. You know, there's ways to make up for that. And maybe Backus even if you're playing. Depending on how things are going, so you got some options there. They're not great options right now, the way the team is built. But if you're loading up on the top six there, then you could probably get away with it.
Well, which possibility do you give that? I mean, I see the Bruins are reportedly they make sense, but nothing really hot at the moment, right? That they're in on
nothing
these deals
at all. I think the interview period slows everything down. I think you know we go to the draft and they talk about there's no trades going down and only like two trades that go down. Well, if you're at the draft and you're not desperate to make a trade, you don't have to get rid of somebody right away. Let's say a team like Buffalo were trying to get rid of O'Reilly before paying his bonus. If you're not, pushed to make a trade, why wouldn't you wait till after the interview period, after free agency, to make a trade when you don't know what player you might talk to that'll say, yeah, I'll come to you for this amount of money, and you don't have to give up anything to get that player rather than trading for someone of a similar, ilk. So I think this interview period thing really has put a cramp in some of the trade talks, and I think now maybe not today because maybe they're still kind of going over the free agent list and there's still some big names out there. I mean, Pat Maroon is a guy that maybe if the number comes down, the Bruins could consider, and maybe July 4th, of course, that was when Tyler Seguin was traded, and maybe that's when trade talks start to heat up.
Well, speaking of trade, of a big name player going out, I guess that's very much possible too. And with the John Moore signing. More Torrey Krug speculation, right, that they have too many left-shot defensemen. I know you're writing your piece that it wouldn't be outrageous to keep 8D, and they've got a heavy schedule, especially backloaded in March there. You could rotate some guys. But it doesn't look like, based on the language of Don Sweeney, they want to go into a year where, again, it's Krug and, two small guys on the left.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it looks. I mean, obviously, Torrey Krug's number, salary-wise, he's close to $6 million there. It's also hampering them. And if you're going to make a trade for a big-time talent up front, like a Panarin, you're going to have to probably part with a guy who's really valuable on this team, makes that power play go, and does so many great things in the room and on the ice. And I don't think they want to trade him, but I think they realize that what it might come down to if they're going to get that elite offensive talent. But by the same token, they might be looking at it as, we have some elite offensive talent here, and we might be able to get away with it. And I think that's the John Moore thing, I don't think, is to replace Krug as much as it's to maybe take some heat off Grizzlick. And, I still hold that I might be proven wrong tomorrow. They might trade Krug and trade one other guy and only go with 60. But, maybe you need 8D to survive these days. And the margins are going to be so slim now with Tampa and Toronto being such good teams now. You know how it goes now with this playoff structure. You can have the third best record in the conference and be third in your division. So it's not quite fair, and they know they don't want to sacrifice any games, and they know how injuries hit, and then we saw that he also talked about that with the goaltending, the fact that he doesn't want to be caught if Tuukka were to go down early in the year or any part of the year, and it could be the same thing on defense. You could be looking at just trying to keep these eight guys healthy and have them to fill in and maybe even play some of the matchups, and that's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, again, not paying John Moore some crazy amount that's hampering them. They're not going to say, oh, we didn't make this trade because we have John Moore making 2.75 any more than they would have ever said that about Adam McQuaid or Kevin Miller, the way they were making money over the years. It's just people don't think players should ever get paid, I think, sometimes.
Well, maybe even more than that whole equation, it's a signal to me that their other youngsters are not ready, right? Lazan and Zaboral and even the first-round pick who came over, right? Those guys.
Obviously they're not going to come out and admit that, but kind of Sweeney did kind of say, he wants the guys to develop at the right pace, which means, I love to read between the lines with Don Sweeney. That's my mental exercise of the day, and that was definitely one of the things you picked up. But there were two things that they took that weren't actually definitely said by Don Sweeney. One was, Lauzon and Zabarl and Fackenheiden need time. And the second thing would be Halak is better than Hudobin, so Anton should go get his money elsewhere. Those are the two things that
I mean, of course they're going to say that now that they signed Halak. Halak's had some good years. He strikes me as very streaky. I guess Hudobin is too.
But right. They're always going to be streaky, and I think the fact that Halak was willing to even be a backup was kind of surprising, because that guy's always been his best when he's been a number one, and you don't expect, especially with the agent he has, Alan Walson, and how closely you follow him on Twitter. He's a strong proponent of his players and doesn't like when his players aren't getting the fair shake that he sees out of them. And so it'll be interesting to see if Halak has a couple of good games in a row, if we suddenly see Alan Walsh tweeting that Tuukka should be relinquishing the net. But a guy, you know, all the things Don Sweeney said, check off, you know, the streakiness, the success despite playing behind a really terrible Islanders defense, and the fact that he has playoff experience doesn't hurt either. So, I mean, it's definitely an upgrade. If you're spending that much money on a backup, which is obviously where the market went, then you're maybe better off doing it on the guy that you think is better, is the better goalie.
I guess. I just, it's a weird thing to me. Khudobin was such a good storyline for them last year. He was, what, 16, yeah. 6, and 7. He saved their butt in November. Unless he was a bad character guy, which he seemed like kind of a goofy, keep the room loose guy, they wouldn't go like a couple. Didn't he accuse them of basically not going an extra couple hundred thousand? They were hard line on him.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know where that comes from. I mean, you don't know. I mean, but I don't blame them. I mean, if you have a number in mind for that goalie, and he's not willing to take that money, considering all the things he said about how much he loves it here, then you may be thinking, saying, "Hey, you know what? Because they probably didn't even know how Halak would be in the mix." I mean, they were talking about Chad Johnson and Carey Lehtinen and a couple other guys, you know, maybe even Bernier they could have been on. And
Carter Hutton, some of these other guys.
Well, Carter Hutton obviously priced himself out because he's going to go be a number one. So, you know, you look at it and you say, gee, if we have a chance for Halak and with the money's practically the same with Khudobin, we might as well go for the guy that that we think is better.
Maybe he's buddies with Chara. I don't know. I mean, maybe you get some of that dynamic.
Yeah. He's played with Chara in the World Cup. He's played for Mike Dunham, who's the basically the assistant goalie coach here in the Islanders, and certainly seen enough of him over the years to know. And, you know, Bob Esenza, the Bruins goalie coach, doesn't seem to have a problem working with anyone. And you've seen some of the guys like Khudobin and Chad Johnson leave, and they don't do as well. So that might be the big secret of the Bruins, is that they have a pretty good goalie coach there.
Well, as far, I mean, I can't see these moves being the reason we're talking, you know, next whatever, June, about why the Bruins didn't win. It's not necessarily the make or break of success, but
exactly.
That's an interesting one. Riley Nash got paid more money than I thought he would. 3 years, $8-plus million to go to Columbus. That's a pretty big change. Schaller got paid. Who else did they lose? Holden, I guess. There was really no thought of them bringing him back anyway, but I don't know Chris Wagner and Joakim Nordstrom very well. I did watch those highlight clips, but what are we getting here with the Wagner-Nordstrom signings?
Yeah, I mean, they're just more players, I'd say, maybe in the Schaller ilk than anything. They're bottom six guys. They play multiple positions. They can play sound defensively, can forecheck, and, you know, Wagner didn't have great numbers last year and kind of had a terrible finish with the Islanders, but a little bit. I saw him when he was at Anaheim, especially, and that might be a better judge because he's surrounded by better players. He seemed like a decent, you know, bottom six guy, a guy who goes in straight lines. Can, you know, if either him or Corrali could wind up being that third center for a time here, and that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And
third in the NHL in hits. The Bruins can't get away from that, can they? They love them some guy top five in hits.
Well, you know, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily look at the top five in hits and really care much, but you know, to me, it would make sense in this day and age with the way the game is that teams go with just four skill lines. I don't know why we still have these grinding lines out there, but this is the way one team can't just do it, because then one team's going to run over every game. So it has to be an overall league-wide change in philosophy. And so at this point, you still got to get these guys. And the fact is, they got them cheap. What did they get? $1 million for Nordstrom and
$1.25 million for Wagner, yeah.
So, again, this isn't Peter Chiarelli overpaying his fourth liners like people cry about all the time. It's just Don Sweeney saving some money. You know, Riley Nash, Tim Schaller, probably Tommy Wingles are out, and these guys come in for a little less money, and there's your savings.
Well, if this is it, if they don't make a trade, you know, it's tough to accuse them of being passive, because they were obviously in on Kovalchuk, they were in on Tavares, and as you say, it's not like there are that many options. But it feels like, I don't know, it feels like a disappointment.
It does a little bit. I mean, I definitely, you know, because you're still in that position where you don't have that right wing on the second line. And I think the Rick Nash thing threw them for a loop too. They didn't necessarily realize he was not going to be an option when the season ended. At least clearly,
like they figured he was their failsafe. Like they could always go back to Rick Nash.
Yeah, I think so. I think they really thought that he liked it here, and they kept saying that they were keeping in touch with him, and that kind of hurt them as well. Because again, with the free agent list not being that sexy, Rick Nash would have been the next guy up, and you got to figure you could probably sell him on staying here, considering how much he supposedly enjoyed being here those last couple of months. But it just took another guy off the market, just like team shopping for top D. You know, probably maybe we're waiting for John Carlson, and next thing you know, he wasn't even on the market. This is the way this crazy league operates, and that's why guys who aren't that good get so much money the way they did yesterday and every July 1st since the CBA came in.
Well, you know, the bigger story, I guess, is just going to be, you know, the Leafs now and the Lightning is the, you know, the clear favorites 1-2 in the conference. And as you say, it's you might have to be a really good team that finishes third and just kind of see where the playoffs takes you at that point.
Exactly. It stinks, but the good thing is the rest of the division is kind of terrible. So you can pad up on number on stats on exploiting Montreal, Ottawa, Detroit, and Buffalo there. I mean, it's a hell of a – it's three elite teams in the division and then four, you know, probably lottery teams again. So you just got to make sure you get every point you can get off of those guys and then see where the chips fall. And, you know, we'll see how Toronto goes. It might take a time for – some chemistry there to form, and you know you're gonna have to find line mates for Matthews and Tavares. We don't know what Matthews is. You know, you talked about what Krejci's reaction would have been. What do you think Matthews? I mean, he has to be embracing it a little bit, but he also has to be wondering about his contract. And don't tell me guys don't think about those things. If Tavares is making $11 million, what are they gonna pay Matthews? What do they have left? And
but he's due for a new big deal, I guess. Huh? He's gonna be an free agent soon.
And so is Nylander. So you got they've got some issues cap wise and. At the very least, upgrading their defense is not going to be easy, considering how much money they now have tied up in their top six forwards. If they give the right deals to Nylander and Matthews, what are you spending on defense at this point? And let's face it, that defense was not good enough to even get them past the first round, let alone you know make a long run.
It wasn't, but for you know, all of a sudden now Marlowe's your third center, or you know whoever they had it look like you know two top heavy lines until I guess Bozak was playing pretty well in that series for part of it, and even Plekanec. I don't know, they're loaded up front. I mean, no matter what you spin it, that's a great 1-2 punch at center. Matthews and Tavares,
absolutely.
Are you kidding?
I mean, it might be the best in the league, but there's other aspects of the game. I mean, if that was just all you had to do to win a cup, anyone would do it, right?
But if you're going to sit down and predict. You're not going to pick the Bruins to finish first or second, right? I mean, at this point, even with a Panarin trade, would you where would you pencil 1-3 now? Lightning, Leafs,
well,
Bruins?
It would depend what they would par with the Panarin. I mean, the Bruins and the Leafs are kind of neck and neck. I mean, look at that. I just can't keep harping on the Toronto defense. And, you know, a defense built on Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner, it just doesn't wow me. And even if you add... that Dermott kid who looked pretty good in the playoffs, if you had him on a regular basis in the top six. I mean, Zaitsev took a major step back last year, and yeah, I guess if they're going to play with the puck a lot and be in the offensive zone, it won't hurt them. But we'll see if they're able to defend anybody.
All right, there you go, Kalman saying don't despair. It just you know the major headlines to go from you know Tavares to John Moore. I think that it's just
right.
it's you're not winning the PR day. Not that obviously determines who wins the cup many years.
Well, luckily, they don't have to win any PR battles because LeBron picked his team and the Celtics pick couldn't find an airplane. So, you know, you don't have to worry about the headlines.
All right, Calvin, good stuff. Well, if the trade happens, maybe we'll revisit for a second edition of Summer Skate. But I've been missing some Bruins talk. So even with our KNC hockey talk last week, I had to get a little fix in. So I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, no, thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Talk soon.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.